Tremaine Rowdies, who have made a huge upset.
Your 2021 Eastern Conference champion.
Attack by score! Oh, that is a delicious goal for Tampa Bay.
And now, you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Mills coming at you for the RBLR Sports Podcast. I am here tonight to cover the Rowdies. Everybody already knows that. Everybody already knows that I'm here with Carlos, my usual co-host. But they don't know is why we are recording on Monday. We are recording on Monday tonight, even though there's a Bucks game later, which Carlos is dying to get to go watch, because we have two games this week. One of those games, you are not going to believe when it is, but we're going to get to that later. It's on Wednesday. Specifically, the timing is going to be very interesting. Carlos, like I said, I know you're dying to get out of here because you got to go watch one of the other Tampa teams, not the Rowdies, not the Sun, but you got to go watch the Buccaneers play. Yeah. And then we'll have RBLR Bucks later on in the week. But how are you doing this Monday evening?
I'm well. You know what? I'm excited for this strange kickoff this Wednesday, which we'll talk about later on. It'll be a fun matchup, important matchup, all things considered. Still a really important game, despite the weird kickoff time. Earliest kickoff time since that one random game against the Bethlehem Steel all those years ago. Fun fact about the Bethlehem Steel, this weekend, Brandon Aubrey, former Bethlehem Steel player, kicked the game-winning field goal for the Dallas Cowboys in the NFL.
Feels very, very nice tie-in there. I like that.
Yeah. I went back and made sure that group chat knows that Brandon Aubrey formerly played against the Tampa Bay Rowdies on two occasions, which is just a weird thought to consider. this guy playing for the Dallas Cowboys at one point in one season on that fateful 2018 year when Neil Collins took over the Rowdies. He played two games against the Rowdies. Now he's kicking in the NFL. So that goes to show you, James, that anything's possible if you put your mind to it. That's your inspirational quote for the beginning of this podcast. But I'm well. It's a nice evening here in Arlington, Virginia. Like you said, in a little bit, I'm going to go watch some Monday Night Football, see the Bucks play with some other Tampa folks I know from around here. So hopefully we have a good evening of Rowdies coverage, but of course, Bucks football later. How are you doing, James?
I'm doing well. I probably will not be watching the Bucks play just being brutally honest here, NFL is not really my bag, I should say. But we do have a lot to cover related to the Rowdies. We have a whole recap to do, and we still have to keep that brief because we have, like I said, two previews to do, and one of those for a game on Wednesday. There's plenty to get through here, and I guess we might as well just jump into it. But last week, in fact, on Saturday, the Rowdies drew 3-3 at home. It was up and down, topsy-turvy, and anybody who watched it, I think, will have been a little confused multiple times, whether you were in the stadium or at home, or in Carlos's case, up in D.C. as well, probably also his home, so I should say that. But it was a crazy game. We will have to preview those two, which are on Wednesday and Saturday, away from home and then at home on Saturday. So at least we will have one more chance to watch the team play again. Like and subscribe to us on YouTube, any major podcast platform. And of course, please follow RBLR Sports on all your social medias at RBLR Sports. You can get us there individually as well, RBLR Rowdies, if you would like to do that. Carlos, let's do the quick recap before we do the long recap, before we do the preview, before we do the preview, before we get out of here.
James, a lot of content to get to here, like you said, so we'll jump into it. Speaking of the D.C. area, D.C. United legend Bill Hamid got his first start in net for the Tampa Bay Rowdies. We were waiting to see when that might happen after getting that big transfer, I guess we could say, trade from Miami for Campisi, and he got his first start in front of the home crowd in what was a game maybe he would like to have back, but he had a big save on the back end of this one that we'll talk about in a little bit. Castellanos started on the back line with Van Kazeel and Guillen. We saw Asokar to continue to play in that right wing back spot, which again, I'll reemphasize, it's just not something I would have ever considered he would be doing for the Tampa Bay Rowdies, but he's doing it and he's doing a serviceable job of it. We'll talk about him a little bit more later on too. Chrysostomo in the midfield with Wyke, Blake Bodley in that left wing back spot, Paul Marie in sort of attacking mid kind of role that we've seen him over the last couple games, which, again, another player who I wouldn't have expected to be in that position, but we'll definitely talk about him later on. He had a good game. Manu Arteaga up top with Rubens Macias. Continue to see them be on the field at the same time on the back end of this season. You'll remember earlier on this year and in the middle part of this year, we saw a lot of rotation, a lot of one or the other. Recently, we've seen a good amount of both on the field at the same time. So interesting to note as we get into this game. After scoring very early, the Tampa Bay Rowdies would go on to concede the equalizer in the 17th minute from former Tampa Bay Rowdy Juan Tejada. We would go on and take the lead 5 minutes later with a goal from Casillas, which was really great to see him getting on the score sheet as always. Castellanos would have gotten on the score sheet another 3 or so minutes later off of a header, a great ball served in by Paul Marie off of a free kick. So the Rowdies were rolling, firing on all cylinders. Had a 3-1 lead going into, well, I was going to say going into halftime, but that was wrong. Juan Tejada would actually score a goal just a few minutes after the Castellanos goal. Took a weird deflection, snuck by Hamid. Halftime, 3-2 Rowdies lead. It wouldn't be until the 58th minute that Micheletto would score the equalizer for Colorado Springs. I was going to say the game winner because that's what it felt like. It really felt like this game slipped out of our hands. Rowdies and Colorado Springs finish this one all tied up 3-2-3. A fascinating game. Our resident sicko statistician, Tom DePinto, put in our group chat earlier what I can only describe as the Rowdies scoregami table. And apparently 3-3 has actually been a result we've had on 8 other occasions. So there you go. Maybe not as rare as I would have thought. Crazy result, but that's the end of this one. We'll jump into it in just a second. Super, super quick table update. Louisville City and Charleston, no surprise, they're still way ahead of everybody else. Louisville's built a 6-point lead over Charleston. Loudon's sitting way back, 14 points back, and still in third place. North Carolina FC, our opponents this weekend, 36 points in fourth place. Hartford on 35 points. So I remember Hartford was way down in the Eastern Conference table with us just a couple months ago. They've been on an incredible run. They're all the way up in fifth place. Out west, Tulsa has 46, Sacramento 38. New Mexico and San Antonio are tied on 33. El Paso and Lexington are tied on 32. Colorado Springs and Phoenix are tied on 31. I mentioned a lot of tied teams here on the table. I've talked about this last week. The West Coast is going to be a meat grinder in these last 6, 7, 8 games. There's a lot of room to jump around in these playoff spots. Expect some really great soccer out west. So stay up for some late night USL this weekend. It'll only get better as we come up on the end of the year. Side note, I just realized that Loudon Rowdy's game is only a couple weeks away. So I'm really excited for that. I can finally see the Rowdies in person up here after what feels like forever. James, let's talk about this game. Hopefully that Loudon game's a win in a few weeks or in a couple weeks. This game was ridiculous. I think this was you. You jotted down the notes here with the question, what the hell even happened in this game? I think it's an appropriate way to lead into our discussion here. What the hell happened, James? Give me your initial thoughts. 3-3, chaotic game, Hamid first start, Paul Marie playing like a god out of nowhere. Castellanos getting on the score sheet, Tejada getting 2 goals against us. There's just a ton of stuff going on here. Give me your initial thoughts.
Chaos is my most initial thought. And we had been complaining for quite a few weeks about the Rowdies not scoring. Maybe they heard that and they were like, all right, well, on the other side, we'll just switch off. That's obviously not what happened. That's not what happened. But at the same time, it was just, yeah, like I said, very, very confusing to take it all in. For starters, let's go with the most obvious things, which are the lineup. You noted Juan Carlos Osorcar remains the right wing back. That's interesting at times. I don't think that he's the best defensive option there, but I don't think that he's been asked to play that role specifically to be a defensive option there. So maybe that's part of it. Paul Marie, a usual actual right fullback, where he played for San Jose Earthquakes for many years.
Yeah.
He has been playing in central midfield. So that's not as weird as it sounds immediately. A lot of central midfielders can also play as fullbacks and obviously vice versa. So I think that he's had plenty of experience in attacking from a right wing back spot. They just gave him in this one a little more attacking role within his position of a central midfielder. Fair enough. That obviously paid off pretty well. Bill Hamid was another big call. We're not exactly sure how well that worked at this one, but I will point out after the game, Eureka and I went to the press conference and Dominic Casciato specifically noted that when we asked about Bill Hamid versus Ethan Bondre for the starting goalkeeper position, he did not say that he thought Hamid was responsible for any of the three goals. So that's something to keep in mind. You know, is it responsible? Is that the right word? I'm not entirely sure. He might not have done everything that he could have. At the same time, let's keep in mind, and we'll get to this later on, huge, huge save to at least keep us level and earn us a point in the 90th minute. So there's that to point out as well.
Yeah. Imagine the tone of this podcast if that goal goes in. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
In the tone on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, like it incredibly frustrating result, but I think you saved yourself a lot of flack on social media, if nothing else, because of that save. Not saying it's going to, you know, shoot us up the table with that extra point.
Right.
You really need all three at this point in the season, but certainly, I don't know, a good save on the back end to really earn the hearts of some fans, at least. So we can credit him for that, certainly, for sure.
Yeah, I will go along with that for sure. But yeah, to start from the beginning of the game, obviously, Paul Marie doing really well in that central midfield position where he was given the room to get himself involved in the attack. And ultimately, I think that he scored one of the easier goals that he'll probably get to score in his career, because it seemed that the seas just parted like Moses came down from on high, but if I've even got that correct. But regardless, Paul Marie goes to I'm not saying that he's a bad dribbler. I don't think he is, but he didn't need to be a good dribbler in that specific moment. The two defenders, I think both of them expected him to look for a pass, because probably he's not the most well-known as someone who's going to dribble right into your box and then shoot from almost the penalty spot, which is what happened. So, really good work from Paul Marie there. And I enjoyed that. The second goal we scored, Wubens Passius off of a header. That's something that we've been missing for quite a while. I think Wubs had started really positively, and then unfortunately it didn't continue over the course of the rest of the season. We gave up a goal after that, but we got our third one, and then I think they scored again. So, Carlos, I've skipped over a lot just in doing that, and I want to break it down a little bit more, but I want to turn it over to you as well to describe the two goals that we got from Colorado Springs, because as you point out, it is always a former rowdy who will score against the rowdies.
I mean, it's always the case, isn't it? It's always the case. It, without a doubt. And this goes back to even like when Van Kaziel was on like Pittsburgh, he would have like his best game of the season, it would feel like, against us, or Etu when he's still at Pittsburgh. Like it always feels like this is the case. One thing I'll mention before I talk about the Tejada goals, I'm going to disagree with you slightly on the Paul Marie thing. Paul Marie, that goal was so easy for him because he made it easy for him. You know what I mean?
That's fair.
That level of just subtle, ooh, little feint to fake that pass. I agree with you. They were expecting him to lay it off for either Woobs or who else is by him. I can't make it out on the highlights on my screen. And I think he fully leaned into that. He feinted that pass. And then, like you said, C's opened up. You got the religious reference slightly off, but you got the point, right? Like the C's opened up, just ran right in. Beautiful goal in the middle of the box. That was money. I did not know he had that in his bag at all. If we could see more of that the rest of this year, what little of it there is left, money. So lots of positives here on the offense, especially in the first half. Second half, obviously, we don't score any goals, but three goals in a game usually should be enough to get you a win. In this case, it wasn't. But let's talk about why it wasn't, right? Juan Tejada was the main reason. In that first goal he scored, that one is going to be the most frustrating for me for a variety of reasons. I think the main thing you'll see here, if you look back at the goal, which I'm doing right now, Van Kaziel is clearly the main center back here at this point. He is trying to bait Juan Tejada into being offsides, which at this point he is. And at some point, the communication breaks down, and Castellanos doesn't have eyes in the back of his head, obviously. So he doesn't see that Van Kaziel is still higher up and trying to keep the line high to make sure Tejada is offsides when that ball gets played in. Castellanos tries to step up to a Colorado Springs midfielder who he thought might get the ball, and then seems to like overcompensate on the back end and tries to sprint back and cover Juan Tejada, but way late. So you have a miscommunication here, two people trying to do two different things, right? Which is frustrating because at this point in the season, you'd like to see something like that be pretty smooth, right? The communication between your guys on the back line should be solid at this point in the year. I take it back. Van Kaziel is like the right center back here at this point with a Sokar behind him defending another guy. Frustrating. Castellanos drops back like a little too quickly, doesn't actually make it to Tejada, but keeps Tejada onside when that ball gets played in. Super frustrating, super fixable, something that communication, like something that you would just expect not really to happen as much at this point in the year. But a really, really unfortunate way to give up the first goal. So blame to go around here on that one. I think just as a back line, right? Communication was off. That's the first goal. Second goal for Colorado Springs doesn't actually come until we're up 3-1, right? And it comes very quickly after that third goal for the Rowdies, the Castellanos goal. Comes off of a corner kick for Colorado Springs, takes a weird deflection out to the top of the box where Juan Tejada eventually finds it. He's surrounded by like two or three Rowdies defenders at this point, makes a subtle little turn to hold onto the ball and rips a shot that I felt Bill Hamid was going to save off of the, you know, initial shot, that moment when I'm looking at the play happening live. Looking back, I thought it would have been a much easier save than it was. James, you and I talked about this before we started going live today.
Yeah.
I couldn't make out if there was a definitive deflection or not, but based on the way the ball moved, I thought it was a Tejada mishit. Whether it was a mishit or a slight deflection from Van Kaziel's toe, like that's all it would have been. The ball moves strangely, and it catches Bill Hamid by surprise. It's a slow looping ball. So, again, maybe a little bit more that could have been done there, but unfortunate and unlucky, if nothing else. A horrible, horrible way to concede a goal minutes after playing some of your best soccer of the year. 3-2 to Colorado.
Yeah, that's a good point to focus on real fast. It's just that you're doing so well, and we've been looking for this for so long, and then it's immediately cut back.
Yeah. And that sets the tone for the rest of the game, right? The Rowdies are, at this point, playing what's an incredibly chaotic game against Colorado Springs. Three goals in a game, like I said, should most more often than not win you a game. But as a fan, as a player, you know, you're seeing just chaos happening on the field. And I think the jury was out on how this game would go. After that, you would see things start to slow down in the first half, right? You can't like sustain that level of offense from the Rowdies. Colorado Springs can't sustain that level of chaos, right? There was a really good look from Pacias on the back end of the half. I liked a good shot from outside the box. But other than that, that's generally what happens in the first half. Chaos, right? But more disappointing than anything is just that communication breakdown, the first goal, maybe not closing down to Tejada quick enough on the second goal. One thing I didn't mention on the first goal was the fact that Tejada like won a header, period, was so frustrating. I love the guy. He was awesome. Great guy to have around the Rowdies, but he's a small guy. Like he's short. We had Van Kaziel and Castellanos back there, and it really was just a lack of communication and positioning that allowed him to win that header. Like, Tejada should never be winning a header that close in the box. That's horrible. So that's kind of where things started to break down, right? It was just a chaotic game. Rowdies, despite scoring three goals, maybe for a few minutes, I felt like they had control of this one. Certainly a few minutes. After that Castellanos goal, it felt like 3-1. We're playing incredible soccer, with the exception of that one goal from Tejada at the beginning of the game. It felt like we were in control of this one for about 5 minutes before, you know, he gets that second goal. And all of a sudden, the jury's out on what's going to happen in the second half. That's the first half, James. You want to talk about what happens here on the third goal too? Because it's just, I mean, again, it was just kind of bad defending. I'm not quite sure what to make of the third goal. Colorado Springs had like maybe one other chance in the entire second half. So again, also frustrating because I felt like we were playing good soccer. We were mostly containing Colorado Springs and not really allowing them to do much at all. Third goal comes in. It's just a, you know, little cross on the ground, just chaos. Micheletto gets a ball that rolls by two Rowdy's defenders and knocks it by Hamid. Again, another really slow ball that in the moment just feels like, man, like you want Hamid to do more there, right? Mm-hmm. He kind of dove maybe a little early. Easy to say that from the stands or from the TV, but certainly as a fan, that's kind of what you're immediate reaction is. Those are all the goals. 3-3, Rowdy's Colorado Springs, chaotic game. Not the best performance defensively, obviously, when you concede three goals. Again, maybe you want a bit more from Bill Hamid. The positive takeaway here is that the Rowdies can score goals, right? Like that seemed to be in doubt for a little bit. But like you said, as soon as that happens, it's incredibly frustrating, incredibly unfortunate that the other end of it just decides to shut off for the day. So what are we going to do? That's all.
Yeah. I don't know. Like you said, I don't think Bill Hamid covered himself in glory on this one. You could possibly say that about the second one as well, but as we have mentioned, the maybe deflection, maybe not, regardless of that, it had a very weird spin on it. And so at a certain point, just like you said, what do you do? The third one is probably more frustrating for that reason, because I think that in the buildup to it, we should have done in the buildup from Colorado Springs, obviously, we should have done better on the defensive side of things. And it's a very weak touch, I guess, that they get on the ball that ultimately puts it into the net and past Bill Hamid, even if he could have done better there. It's also probably the case that we could have done better to prevent him from getting that touch at all, or to prevent the cross from getting in.
Yeah,
this is where the game got a little just a little hard to follow at times, because I think that that was before we made any substitutions. So we were still kind of rocking with the same lineup and formation. And so far, honestly, that had served us pretty well. I think that the way that the Rowdies set up to try to win this one, and this is something that I asked in the post game as well, just trying to get a little bit more information from Coach Casciato about what the plans were to try and beat Colorado Springs. And I think the Rowdies had done relatively good things throughout, let's say up until the 60th minute where they made the substitutions, which is not to say that afterwards it was poor. There were just no goals then. But I think that the Rowdies were doing well at their game plan, and they were able to find players in good positions. The third goal, I'm trying to remember. Goal from Robert Castellanos, that was off of a free kick. But the two goals prior to that were from open play. Lawrence Weick was the one that found Wubens Passius with his cross, and Wubens obviously headed it home. And then the one from Paul Marie with an assist from Blake Bodley, a very, very generous assist from Blake Bodley. His first of the season, which I did not expect, but regardless, that's where we are. And I think that the Rowdies were doing a good job to open Colorado Springs up, put our players in good positions. And then in this game in particular, we were doing well at the finishing side of things. Yeah. But yeah, it's very unfortunate that the first goal that Colorado Springs scored, I think that we really just shut off entirely on that one. And that's unfortunate. The second two weren't shutting off entirely, I would say. But they were moments where we definitely could have done better and players lost their marks, especially probably for the third one where we were chasing. Like I said, that last shot that ultimately put it on target. I think that Marco Micheletto barely knew that he had put that in any particular direction. So. That was definitely frustrating there. If we can, every game, something seems to be missing in terms of getting a full result in this case, obviously being the 3 points that we need. And for once in the last 2 months, it wasn't our finishing. We did really well. We have been doing pretty decent job so far in that time of keeping other teams off the score sheet or mostly off the score sheet. Yeah. I don't think we've had a ton of shutouts in that time, but we have done a pretty good job defensively overall. And if we had had better luck scoring, I think that we could have won quite a few of those games. Unfortunately, that hasn't been the case, obviously, but in this one, it was the defensive side where we ultimately lost things. And that's not just evident by the score sheet 3-3. Everybody can see that and go, well, okay, yeah, we lost three goals. But I think that, in particular, these three goals were goals that the Rowdies should not be giving up in general. One of these three in a game, you could say, well, that sucks. That's unfortunate. Yeah. But yeah, probably should have been doing better for, let's say, the first and the third one overall. Again, give that second one just a grain of salt, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, that deflection, I guess you could chalk up to bad luck if there was a deflection. It still feels to me like it was just a mishit from Tejada and he got a little lucky with it. Let me quickly take you through a couple things I want to highlight in the lineup, by the way. Just a couple players. I think White had a really great game in the midfield. This is someone that we've seen move up from back line. Obviously, he's a utility player and that he's been playing games in the center back role. He's played games in the midfield role. Honestly, it seems like he settled in really nicely into that central midfield role over the last several games. He gets up pretty well. Like he can move the ball well. Obviously, he gets the assist on the Rubens Macias goal. So give him credit where it's due in the attack. It's not something that we've known him for. We know he's played in the midfield. I always kind of assumed him to be a more solid defensively midfielder. But his attack, his ability to move the ball up the field has been really nice to see. I think he was a big part of why we had success, particularly in the first half. His partner in the middle, Crisostomo, was a little slow for me in this game. I mean, all things considered, we did score three goals. It just felt like he didn't really get a ton going. Out left, Blake Bodley obviously got assists, had a good game. His counterpart on the right side, again, I think you mentioned this already, but Asokard continues. He had a couple moments in the second half where it was clear that he's not his strength isn't his defense, right? His ability to mark guys or tackle a ball. Like, he got exposed a couple times again. Didn't lead to goals, but I think with some better decision making from Colorado Springs, he certainly could have led to at least one goal. It happened a couple weeks ago, there was one clear moment. Last week, I want to say there was at least one moment. So I like his ability to get up the field. Obviously, he's an attacking threat. We didn't really see a lot of that from him this game. But I'm curious to see how that continues to play out over the next couple games. Same thing from the back line that we've seen over the last few weeks, by the way. No real changes in the center back area. Lasso was on the bench, I think, again. So whatever that injury was that we didn't hear about until day of the game, I guess he's available to play, but maybe not really. He was on the bench, saw him there. You could see him in the broadcast, like he was available, but obviously didn't get minutes at this point. One thing I'll mention, you talked about the subs in the 60th minute, Joey Skinner and former new rowdy, Alex Mendez, who joined the squad this past week. We haven't talked about yet. There's some interesting stuff about him. We can talk about him a little bit more later on. Interesting player. Formerly highly, highly, highly rated prospect in the U.S. youth system. They come on. Alvarez and Sharp come on the 81st minute as well. Those are your four subs in this one. I don't know necessarily what the plan was here with some of these substitutions. Obviously, it didn't pan out in any more goals, but something that was a little discouraging to me is you look at the second half stats, and it felt like it. I didn't have the numbers to prove it until when I looked it up, you know, before we started recording / going live. The Rowdies had two shots in the entirety of the second half, which was, it certainly felt like that watching the game. Like, it got much slower in the second half, which obviously you expect to a certain extent, right? You can't sustain that level of offensive playmaking that you had in the first half. But Colorado Springs was certainly much more on the front foot in the second half than we were, in part because they needed a goal, sure. But they got that pretty early on, like, what, the 58th minute? So you had a little over half an hour to go make something happen still. We didn't really see a ton from Alex Mendez. Again, he just recently joined the team. Not right. A ton to, you know, really criticize him there for. He's still getting to know the team, I would assume. Joey Skinner comes in and doesn't really do a ton, despite usually being the energy guy off the bench. Charlie Sharp, same thing. Alvarez, same thing. Didn't really see a lot of them, but again, they only had 9 or so minutes to actually get anything going on the back end. The subs weren't all that surprising. We've seen these guys kind of, well, except Mendez. We've seen the other three be back end substitutions on the later parts of these games over the last several weeks. I am just a little frustrated by the fact that there were only those two shots in the entirety of the second half. And neither particularly threatening. It sounds selfish to say, like, you want another goal after scoring three. But it's not really, you know, me saying that. More so just kind of highlighting those subs on the back end, mentioning that I was just kind of a little confused by what was going on in the last half hour or so, if that's fair. Is that a fair thing to say?
Yeah.
There just wasn't a lot going on.
Yeah.
Which, again, 3 goals in the first half, not sustainable. You're not expecting us to score 3 again in the second half, but especially after we concede that goal, like, I was hoping to see maybe one more really, really good look on the back end of this game that we just never really got. Colorado Springs did get that really good look, but Bill Hamid robbed it from them. So, I mean, there's that. So we can celebrate that. Celebrate getting out of there with a tie when ultimately – on the back end, Colorado Springs certainly did enough to get out of there with what would have been a crazy 4-3 loss for us. But that's it. Was there anybody else wanted to highlight, James, other than who will eventually be your man of the match?
I guess at this point, not particularly. Alex Mendez, you already talked about. Danny Crisostomo got the start alongside Lawrence Weick. Lewis Hilton was out of this one, so that's another... it's another wrinkle in the central midfield saga. I don't know. I don't know the right term here, but trying to find who is going to play in the central midfield has been pretty difficult over the course of the season due to injuries and availability. And also recently we have added to it with a couple more signings like Paul Marie. Yeah. But yeah, it was just interesting to see. The back line, we mostly, like you said, that's about the same. So the only other thing, I guess, is that Rubens Passios and Manuel Arteaga started up top together. We haven't seen that since, I think, when we were talking about this very early on in the season. I remember that. Yeah. They were starting alongside each other each game, and we were almost worried that they were going to end up, like, running out of steam at a certain point. So I don't know if that happened or not, or if it just ultimately became something where the Rowdies saw more utility and only starting one of them and playing players in other positions. But yeah, we went back to it now. And I guess these are all little tidbits to try and pick up on and see where Casciato is trying to move the team. Maybe things are changing week in, week out because they see different little tweaks that can beat certain teams. Yeah. And that might've been the case with Colorado Springs specifically, because Asokar and Bodley are definitely good attacking players, and giving them the platform to try and find Passius and Arteaga. If they can get past their defensive opposites, then maybe that's what the Rowdies were thinking. So I'm not sure, obviously. We didn't get quite that into details with Coach Casciato after the game, but it's all just stuff to consider as we move forward.
Yeah, and you'll remember that at the beginning of the year, too. The question about who would start, if they both start up top with Woob and Arteaga, was a bit more pressing, because we really only had Andrew Mustali as depth at that point.
Exactly.
There wasn't really anybody else we could turn to and be like, okay, well, we have Charlie Sharp on the bench, or, you know, Asokar, who is technically a striker, even though he plays right wing back. We still also have Mustali, plus Alvarez, who I guess could play in that attacking role. There's Alex Rodriguez, the other academy kid. Side note, where is Mustali? I feel like I haven't seen him on the bench. Maybe in a couple weeks, or am I making
that is? Up? Yeah, that is a good point.
I don't know if he's injured or anything. Just, I don't know. I just literally just occurred to me as I looked at the bench and realized he wasn't there this week or last week or the week before. Maybe he's injured. I don't know. He's certainly not in the bench, at least listed on FotMob. Last thing I will say about this game before I think we should jump into the man of the match, because we still have two previews to do, which is ridiculous. The attendance, James, that made me kind of sad to see on TV.
I think that's a good point to, yeah.
I understand the team's been not the best product on the field. I honestly wasn't sure if that would actually make people not show up to games as much, because there's a significant chunk of the people that go to Rowdy's games are very much like casuals, we could say, right? People who enjoy the Saturday night with their family, like to go with their kids, see the fireworks in some instances. Like, it's a great family atmosphere, which a lot of people seem to take advantage of, even if they know very little about the Rowdies. My assumption was that the attendance wouldn't take as big a hit this year as it has, but we've now seen multiple games in the 3,000s, which is not typical for the Rowdies, at least since like the beginning of the modern era when they were playing at Steinbrenner, early games at Al Lang. This is a club that's at least been in the 5,000s on average for most of the last several seasons. Doesn't sound like a huge difference. I mean, when you think about like the high level huge stadiums, like, you know, 60,000 versus 58,000 isn't all that much, but in an Al Lang, which holds some 75,000 to 8,000 people, right? 5,000 versus 3,500 is like a huge difference, or 6,000 versus 3,000 is a huge difference. Like, it's so lame to see on TV when there's that few people. It makes me really sad. I wish I could be there. But it also tested my assumption of who makes up the Rowdies crowd, right? It's not a coincidence that the Rowdies are as bad as they've been in quite a long time, and the attendance takes a significant hit, right? In my head, like I said, my assumption was that people would continue to go. It's a family atmosphere on Saturdays. People just love going to the Rowdies games because it's the Rowdies, right? I think that tests that assumption for me. It makes me think that there's a lot more people tuned in, know what's going on with the Rowdies, which is good, but also bad, right? People don't want to go to as many games if they know the Rowdies aren't playing great soccer. So just something to chew on as we get into the last few games of the year. Still several home games that make up the last portion of the year. In fact, I think after this Birmingham away game, there's only one more away game, which is that Loudon game, and the rest are at home. So still plenty of reason to go to the Rowdies games. There's plenty of soccer left to play. But I say that with a grain of salt. I know there's not actually that much soccer left to play, but there's enough points left up for grabs that we could still make something happen. We'll talk about that in just a second, North Carolina and Birmingham. So my last thing to chew on, James, do you have anything to add to that? Throwing that out there.
No.
Yeah.
Go ahead with.
Jump into the man of the match, but just keep that in mind. Like,
go to the games. If you're showing, if you have a season ticket and you just maybe decided not to go, like these last few games are going to be so, so important. And I think everybody counts in Al Lang. So, James, let me give you my man of the match. Paul Marie is an easy, easy man of the match for me. I think he had just an incredible game. I don't know if I'm exaggerating. It feels like he had one of the better performances of any Tampa Bay Rowdy this season. Just a really complete performance in the middle of the field. Again, didn't know he had that goal scoring ability in his bag. An incredible body feint to throw off the entire Colorado Springs back line. And of course, got an assist. He was involved in a lot of the Rowdy's attack in that first half. Things settled down in the second half, but it wasn't just because of him. I think he had just an incredible, incredible. I'll give you this. He had certainly the best first half of any Rowdy this season. Maybe not the best full 90. We talk about the second half as well, but incredible game from him.
Yeah. Obviously, Paul Marie did so well in this one that he got at least one man of the match nominee. And in fact, he ended up with both of ours. He was my man of the match for this game as well. He got the goal and the assist, and Carlos mentioned his work in the central midfield. I don't think that he was particularly responsible for any of the plays that ultimately led to Colorado's goals, or I would say probably, well, I think he was actually off by that point, but either way, the very good chance, yeah, he was off, the very good chance in the last couple of minutes. I guess he couldn't be held responsible if he was on the bench at that point. So, yeah, I think that if you include everything that he did on the attacking side, obviously that puts his name very high up there. But in addition to that, I really don't think that he did anything defensively where we can look at him and say, Paul Marie should have done better here, should have done better there, whatever. We talked to him after the game, and he seems like the consummate professional, which most people are when you get to this level. But he's just eager to get more points. And yeah, he told us after the game specifically, I said, you know, or excuse me, it was Eureka who asked this, but Eureka asked him, what do you want to get out of your time here with the Rowdies? And he said he has one goal, and that one goal right now is make the playoffs. That's what we're all after, right? That's what we all want to do. Paul Marie might well have a big hand in getting us there if that ultimately does happen. We need to see how it plays out naturally, but that's where we are at the moment. So, yeah. Paul Marie, two Man of the Match nominations from RBLR Sports. Before we move on, liking and subscribing is free, but if you need some new threads this year, you can support our podcast a little bit more by heading over to shop.rblrsports.com and checking out all the designs that we've got going on there. There will be a link in the description, or you can click on the thing that is right below my face if you are watching this live. If you're just listening to it, well, there probably will also be a link in the description of the show.
Yeah.
So check us out there. Promo code COYR for 10% off of your order if you find something you like, which I bet that you will. Carlos, we've got two games to preview. Let's hop into that. Do you want to take the first one? Because we were hinting at this all along, but it is the very silly kickoff time that has got us all in some type of frenzy.
Yeah, like I said, earliest kickoff time since that one Bethlehem Steel game back in 2018. Rowdies take on Birmingham Legion away in Birmingham with a few sickos making the trip at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, James. Ridiculous kickoff time. Eureka is one of those sickos that will be over there at, what's it called, Protective? Is that the name of the stadium where the Blazers play? Cavernous Stadium. Way too big for what the crowd will be on Wednesday afternoon. Last time I saw this early kickoff, I was in science class in high school. This time I will be on my lunch break at my full-time job. So crazy how things happen. Tampa Bay Rowdies and Birmingham Legion have had a interesting history. Birmingham is one of the few teams that actually have a winning record against the Rowdies in the USL. Not a lot of teams we could say that about, but Birmingham is certainly one of them. They are technically ahead of us. They're tied with us on the table on points, but they have a slightly better goal differential of -9 or -10. They haven't won in 6 games. That last game that they won was in the Jägermeister Cup. And their last league win was on July 11th against against North Carolina away. They've had an interesting run of interesting few games as well. They had a chaotic one just like we did. They tied against Orange County 4-4 all the way back a couple weeks ago. Why did I say that like that? In Orange County. So they certainly have some goal-scoring threats that can kind of come out of nowhere. They had a 3-3 result against Phoenix Rising a few weeks ago as well. At the beginning of August. But they've not really found themselves, especially on the back end of this season.
Matt Van Okel is certainly going to be in that with his ridiculous mustache behind Amir Daly, Santiago Suarez, Jake Roofy, AJ Patterson, and Jackson Travis. By the way, James, you mentioned that three of these guys are on loan, so that's an interesting thing to note here. Eternal Rowdies villain Enzo Martinez will be in the midfield with Samuel Mikel Hatton. I think that's how you say his name. Samuel Joshua behind Sebastian Treygarten and Ronaldo Damus. I always mess up. Is it Damus or Damus?
I say Damus, but I mean, yeah. it's Haitian, so I can't say that I'm very good with Creole. it's probably not whatever I'm saying.
There you go. Damus has 3 goals this year. Sorry, that's not right. That's Jägermeister Cup. That's low. Damus has 10 goals on the regular season. 3 goals in Jägermeister Cup. So he's certainly their biggest goal scoring threat. In the USL regular season, there's a huge drop off on their USL scoring. Ronaldo Damus has 10. Danny Trejo and Enzo Martinez are tied for second on the team with 3 goals each. So we know who their biggest attacking threat's going to be. Obviously, Enzo and other folks on the team are capable of scoring, but Ronaldo Damus seems to be certainly their biggest threat in the attack. Tyler Pascher, by the way, still on this team. He's still really good at soccer, despite where they are on the table this year. He's a threat in the attack, as well as Preston, Tabor, Tataka. Sure. James, you mentioned that Pascher hasn't been available. Do you know if he's injured? Has he just been out recently?
I don't know if he's injured, and this is the thing I think that goes back to, well, I guess it's a problem that we experience too, but The USL does not have to report when players are injured, how long they're expected to be out, XYZ, all that stuff. So right now it's just he's not been in the team sheet for several games at this point, and That's what we have.
There you go. Fun fact, the last time the Rowdies actually beat Birmingham Legion in a USL game was 2021. Isn't that insane? It was a playoff game in 2021. We won 1-0. Since then, we've tied most games against them. We've lost several league games against them. And the last time we won against them, period, was the Open Cup game in that ridiculous 6-4 overtime win at home at Al Lang. Crazy, by the way. I did not realize it's been that long since we beat them in a just USL game. Even then, technically, it was a USL championship game. I don't know if we count that. It was an important game, obviously. So it's going to be a tough one. Just historically, it seems like they always have our number, despite them having a very poor season. They're right, you know, they're with us. Let's just send it and see what happens. Why not? We need points. We're scoring goals, evidently, but it appears they can too, and they can play some chaotic games. So this game could have some Colorado Springs chaos to it, is my initial prediction, James.
Yeah, I think that chaos is fairly likely based on the last couple of results. All right, well, is there anything that we want to highlight other than the predictions for this one then?
I've got nothing else. I say we just jump into it. We'll get to North Carolina in a second. 12:30 p.m. kickoff Wednesday. Watch it on your lunch break. Tell your boss you have to take a break and go to the bathroom for an hour at 1:00. Like, watch the Rowdies play soccer in the middle of the day. And watch the Rowdies win 3-1. Sure. Why not? Like, again, I have no reason for this. I just know, like, Birmingham's not scoring a ton of goals on the year. They've scored some crazy results recently at 3-3, 4-4. But we just scored 3 goals. Let's do it again and keep Birmingham down to a measly 1 goal. They have our number. Let's change that this week.
I think that I could see a draw on this one. I don't know if it'll be quite as high scoring. I'm going to go with a 2-2 draw just in case to cover my high scoring bases there. And Eureka has joined you in the win column with a 3-2 win. He says in the chat here, all gas, no brakes. What is defense? So, we'll see how that goes. All right, now let's move on to the second preview. And this is the reason that we're going on Monday. As I said, we have the Wednesday and Saturday game. But this Saturday game will be at home. We've talked about the poor attendance recently. Guys, anyone listening, please get your tickets. Come to this game. Help support the Rowdies as we try to make the playoffs in 2025. So on Saturday, the Rowdies host North Carolina FC. We'll have played our game in hand. That is the one versus Birmingham, of course. And this is when we will be all caught up with everybody in the East. Hopefully by then we will be in a position where we might even be in the playoffs or a playoff position. Obviously, nothing secured at that point. The game is at 7:30, a normal time, so you can be there and not have to worry about whatever is going on in the middle of the day. They're fourth in the East, North Carolina, that is, and have a much better record than Birmingham recently. We lost to them away in August. I'll go into that in a little bit, but that game was frustrating because I remember the goal that we scored there was actually really, really nice. Ollie Zemla is likely to start in net behind recently right back Ahmad Alcock, Connor Donovan, Bryce Washington, Paco Craig, and Patrick Bernay. The midfield has been Pedro Dolabella, Raheem Somersol, Mikey Maldonado, and Luis Perez behind either Evan Conway or Olex Anderson. Olex Anderson from St. Kitts and Nevis. Very interesting player there. I think that if I'm not mistaken, this is the player back in St. Kitts and Nevis. They call him Bounty because he was such a good scorer on his home island. So very interesting, like I said. Conway up top and Dolabella in the midfield are leading the team with 7 goals each. Anderson on the other side has 3 goals. Mikey Maldonado is the biggest chance creator, both big chances, according to FotMob, and regular chances. And he has 8 assists on the season. He leads the team with that number. And I guess that follows the two things that I just said prior to it. So Mikey Maldonado will be the player to keep an eye on here. I said previously in this one that we had gone up to North Carolina. If I'm not mistaken, we scored first. It was a lovely, lovely goal. One touch passing from the right side of the field to the left. Lewis Hilton was involved 3 yeah. times, I think, before he actually scored. And it was one of the best goals I've seen the Rowdy score in a very long time. And then, unfortunately, we let North Carolina back in, and I feel like those goals were kind of cheap, if I'm not mistaken. I don't remember specifically now, but I do remember that was a very, very frustrating loss, and we should have at least got a draw out of that one, especially based on the goal that we scored, but that's not exactly how soccer goes all the time. So I would like to get a little bit of revenge personally, just because I don't think that North Carolina deserved the 3 points there. And I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how this one plays out. Obviously, we are playing them at home, so that gives us a little bit of an advantage. And you would assume that if we can actually get a better attendance, we can also get that better advantage on the field. I'm hopeful there. We're going to have to see exactly how that plays out with the attendance. But maybe there will be enough people listening to this or enough people sharing this that we get people listening and everybody says, hey, let's go. Let's support the Rowdies. I do think that we can beat this team. And we have shown, I guess, recently a little bit of attacking competence that we can put something in the back of the net. And they're ready to give up goals. It's just apparently we're a little bit ready to give up goals as well. Maybe yeah. we can do a little bit better on the defensive side of things in these next 2 games. I think that's honestly where we're going. Well, it's hardly shocking to say that if you don't give up any goals, you have a better chance of winning. But that's what I'm saying here. If we can do better defensively against Birmingham, especially, but also against North Carolina, I feel confident that we can get good results out of these 2 teams. This isn't Louisville City, who are just burning through everybody that stands in their path right now. We can get a win on Wednesday and Saturday if we play the right way.
Yeah. Imagine where that puts us. If you win on Wednesday, you're at 25 points. You are, 2 points out of playoff position. Rhode Island didn't do us any favors by winning this past weekend. They're on 27 points. We're on 22. That win on Wednesday is as close to a must win as you'll have on this back end of the year, right? I mean, it's hard to say any game is must win or that any game isn't must win, I guess is a better way to put it. When you're trying to get those last points for the playoffs, you are where we are on the table. Like that win against Birmingham is going to be, I think, highly, highly necessary. Not just like important, but like if you want a shot to really make this happen, you need to put yourself in the position to do that with a win on Wednesday. This game on Saturday is going to be tougher. North Carolina FC has been a good team. We have a fascinating history with them too, going back to the modern NASL. And then they joined the championship or the USL. Then they relegated themselves to the League One for a little bit before making their way back to the championship. So we've played them in several different instances, across names when they were the Railhawks, across leagues and levels of the USL. It's a team we know pretty well at this point. I would like to beat them. Like you said, I think we deserved the win when we went over there last time. It'll be tough. But like you said, I think there's a certain level of understanding that, like, you just really just need to win. Like, just win. You know what I mean? From the club. Yep. I think that mentality is going to show itself on the field too over this next week. Between that Wednesday game and Saturday game, I think you'll see some heart from these guys. So I'm going to be positive in my prediction. Do I jump into my prediction, James?
Go for it.
I'm going to say a 2-1 win against North Carolina. Our backline hasn't been stellar. We haven't had a shutout since, I think, like that Hartford game. So I'm going to assume we get scored on, but I'm also going to assume we get one more goal than North Carolina. We get out of there with a 2-1 win and shoot ourselves into competition, contention for that eighth place spot.
All right. 2-1 win for Carlos, a 2-1 win for Eureka, and I am actually joining them in the wins column. Pessimist Igor over here, 1-0 win for me. So I guess if we all get a win, or if we get a win as the Rowdies, then we will all have to see who amongst us was closest to the score. But yeah, that's where we are.
Yeah.
I think that we can do it. It's going to take everything coming together, and I'm hopeful, obviously, that it does. Yeah. Carlos, there's one point that you noted in extra time, and it is something that we had just discussed very briefly here. So I'll turn it over to you to highlight our most recent signing.
Yeah, just to mention it again, Alex Mendez joins the Rowdies this season. Really interesting that we're making signings this late in the year. I don't recall us really doing that in the last several seasons. Certainly, out of necessity, potentially, right? Like, we are where we are on the table. We need some dogs, right? Alex Mendez has been a really, really interesting player to learn about. I didn't know about him until we signed him, but I've learned that he was an incredibly respected and highly rated prospect in the U.S. youth system, won the U20s, the U20 CONCACAF with the U.S. Rowdy's announcer Ryan Sudol actually sent me this on Twitter. He sent the highlight package of that game that Ryan was actually calling. So Ryan calling a future Rowdies game out at IMG Academy, that matchup. Yeah, he's had a really interesting career, James. Was at Ventura County for a little bit, went over like in his youth career, made his way over to Ajax's youth team and reserve team in Netherlands, played for Vizela in Portugal for 3 years before making his way over to Mexico, where he played in 5 games for FC Juarez. Obviously now making his way to Tempe Rowdies. You saw an interesting reaction from a lot of people who are more in tune with U.S. soccer than I was. There was several replies from people being like, oh my God, like, I forgot about this guy. Like, people knew about him. You know what I mean? And maybe didn't live up to his full potential that people had expected for him. So there's clearly, again, I'm learning about him for the first time this week when we announced the signing, or last week. It seems like there is a lot of unfulfilled upside. Is that a good way to put it for him? That, who knows, maybe the Rowdies can help unlock over the next few weeks. It would have to be a quick turnaround for him to really make a huge impact for the squad, but who knows? Let's see what we can do. By all accounts, a pretty decent signing, and hopefully something that'll pan out for some goals, good playmaking, good assists in the next several weeks.
Yeah, I was one of those players that had this reaction. Alex Mendez came through a class of players who was very talented at the youth level, and unfortunately, ultimately, few of them made it to the senior men's national team level. That doesn't mean, of course, that they don't have good professional careers. There are some of them that are not in the game anymore, but that's how youth soccer works, of course. And Alex Mendez coming to the Rowdies is very exciting for me. I hope that he can He's got a wand of a left foot. And as Coach Casciato put it after the game, you don't sign for Ajax if you're not a good player. So keep that in mind. I'm excited to see where that goes. And if he can contribute as we get through these last seven games, then maybe he'll stick around longer than that. And maybe he'll have a storied career. That's what I'm hoping for anyway. All right. Well, I think that's everything, Carlos. Do we have anything left in this one, or can we send everybody on their way?
Get out of here. Go watch the Bucks game Monday Night Football in 17 minutes against the Texans. Even if James doesn't like American football, it's the Bucks, man. It's the Tampa team. The second team in Tampa after the Tampa Bay Rowdies, an often forgotten fact. Yeah, that's it. Follow me on Twitter at CarlosTPA10. We'll get out of here. We'll let you follow the podcast as well on all the social medias at RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads. We're still on Threads anywhere. Use hashtag AskRBLR. We'll talk about your questions on the pod. James, where can people find you on social media?
Yep, I'm mostly on Twitter as well, at RBLRJamesK, if you would like to get me there. Please like and subscribe to the podcast. You can get the full experience on YouTube, or if you just want to listen to us, no problem. We are also on Spotify, iHeartRadio app, Apple and Google Podcasts, wherever you are. That's where we are, too.
Big week.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We will see you, hopefully, in a week with 6 points in the bag, crossing our fingers for that. So, with 3 goals on the board, let's say, and many more to come, come on, you Rowdies.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.